And it's time now for Do You See What I'm Saying? With your host, Steve Ogletree. Steve always has interesting guests in the studio, always some interesting topics, things you need to know, and today is no exception. So without further ado, let's go to the Master of Ceremonies and say hello to Steve Ogletree.
Good morning. Good morning, Charlie, and good morning to the listeners. Another wonderful Saturday, and nice and humid and stuffy hot outside, but we're going to get through it. I'm glad to be here with you, and today in the studio we have a special guest, Miss Monica Black. Welcome, Monica.
And thanks for having me.
And today we're going to talk about life insurance and maybe some other possibilities, maybe some investment. Don't it all tie in, you say?
Yes, definitely.
Alrighty. Well, kick us off a little bit and tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Okay. Well, I'm originally from Indianapolis. I graduated from Central State University, which got me to the big city of Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. By trade, I'm a CPA, but I went to the financial field because I feel that it's a little bit more rewarding and I have an opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives. I've been in the financial services industry for about 23 years now, basically showing families how to properly protect their assets, how to get out of debt, how to save and invest their money, basically to reach overall financial independence.
Wow. I need to book an appointment with you after this show.
Yes, you do.
And also my main man, Charlie, back there is from Indianapolis. So
yes, he
told
me. That is
awesome. We got some Hoosiers up in here.
Yeah.
And believe it, I think my mother was born in Indianapolis. That is just the trifecta there.
Yes.
So life insurance, I was just joking around before, it's not a fun subject, but it is a necessary thing to purchase and obtain. So is there a certain criteria for life insurance, or, you know, do they, I've often heard, I mean, just hearing on the rumors, it's better to buy when you're young.
That is a true statement because you're more healthy mm-hmm. when you're younger, which means that the cost would be less expensive. But I would think overall people would know the purpose of having life insurance. And that purpose is to protect lost income, not necessarily to protect a person's life. For example, if a family depended on each other's income and half of that income was taken away, what would be the quality of life of that family?
Mm-hmm.
It would significantly go down. But what many people have been taught, in addition to myself, is that life insurance is for burial insurance.
Right.
To make sure that a person, you know, gets appropriate burial. But if I have someone depending on my income, of course I love them, but now I have no money, which means that I'm going to have to find another source of income.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is ask a variety of questions to make sure that a family has the appropriate amount of coverage. And I would say in general, if someone's depending on that income, then 3 to 10 times their income is the amount of coverage that they should have.
Okay. That's the general rule of thumb.
Correct.
Okay. Now, say when you shopping for life insurance, mm-hmm. I know, I guess, does it depend on the type of coverage you have to where they do the, like a health check or, you know, a physical or whatnot?
Certainly. There's always an application that would need to be taken, and there are a variety of life insurance types. So, mm-hmm. for example, there's something called cash value, which most people are more familiar with whole life or universal life. And then there's term insurance, which there are a variety of terms. And then, of course, there's the group insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's group insurance at a person's job, then typically there's not any medical paramed that would need to be done. No blood, urine, and things of that nature. It's just sometimes just signing up or answering a few questions. With the standard whole life insurance or term insurance, all I can say is with our company, then there's not necessarily a paramed that needs to be done. It's just a matter of answering questions. And for some people, it's obtaining medical records. So there is not, I'll say, a standard overall.
Mm-hmm.
And on TV, you may hear that you don't have to answer any medical, well, actually that you only have to answer 3 medical questions and then you're covered. However, if you, you see at the bottom of the screen, it'll say that it's a modified plan, mm-hmm. which means that you're really not completely covered for the first 2 to 3 years.
Wow.
If you pass away, they'll return your premium.
Wow.
And that's it.
Important to know those little bitty stipulations they put on. And that's not
yes.
little bitty, but...
No.
Yeah, so when they do... like, because that's mostly what I get my life insurance information is off of these commercials that I see. I hear, like, once you, like, a lot of them, when you turn 50, then they don't, you know, this almost like no questions asked. And then the other thing I had a question on was the, when it says final expenses, is that insurance just for the funeral or?
That would be correct, however they define final expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Some commercials will say you can pay $15 per unit, but a unit is $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really not getting a whole lot of units, and it's still probably a modified type of program, mm-hmm. meaning that there's a waiting period.
Gotcha, gotcha. So those are important things to know when you're purchasing, so that you make sure you ask all the questions and have somebody read the entire agreement.
Certainly.
Yeah. So now you also were saying you also do like investment counseling and whatnot?
Certainly. One thing that I've learned throughout the years is that most people don't know investment principles. And if a person doesn't know investment principles, then they either do nothing
mm-hmm.
or retirement may come around and all of a sudden they want to start saving for retirement. But and if a person has a program or 401k or whatnot at their job, usually those individuals aren't allowed to specifically tell you where to put your money.
Mm-hmm.
They're only able to tell you that there is a program available. Mm-hmm. So people need the education, the various principles, and one of them being the rule of 72. And what that rule means is if you take 72 and you divide it by the interest rate, it will tell you approximately how many times it will take for your money to double. So for example, if you're going to your bank and you're getting a 1% rate of return, 72 divided by 1 is 72. So mm-hmm. every 72 years, it will take for your money to double. Correct. So that is not a place to invest your money, a place to pay your bills at that mm-hmm. point in time.
Right.
If you're saving for retirement every 6 years, 72 divided by 6, so that would be every 12 years. And if you're a little bit more aggressive, averaging around 12%, then that would mean every 6 years. So the question that you would have to ask yourself is how many more doubling periods do I have to set aside money for retirement?
Mm-hmm.
And if my time is, you know, a shorter time period, I can't do an investment getting 1% or
right.
2% or 3%.
Mm-hmm. Got to get the bang for your buck with the time you got left.
That would be a true statement.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So I guess we really do need somebody like you to guide us through some of these. these things can be complicated. But I'm sure you simplify when you sit down and map a person's investment, you know, plan out. Now, when they come in, do they have to have, is there a certain amount of money they need or?
No. Well, I'll say yes. If a person's doing investing, the minimum amount would be $25 per month.
Okay.
So that's less than $1 a day.
Right, right. So, if they came in with the $25, you could guide them to Now, what's the difference between what you're doing and like the 401k, other than, I know like you were saying that they can't tell you where to put it. I mean, I just got a statement saying they changed some of the programs that they had. Right. So I'm sure that is a constant in the business. But so when they come to you, for the most part, you are you a, I guess, like going into the same pool that these 401k accounts are going, or?
Okay. So I do work with 401ks and 403bs, Roth IRAs, traditional IRAs, whether, you know, any investment, whether it's for a tax shelter or a non-tax shelter. But in terms of the places in which people invest that money, it can be mutual funds, it can be bond funds. It just really all depends on what that individual desires. Mm-hmm. And I work with 8 different fund families, and I recommend where I have my investment first. I've been investing for about 25 years now, very excited about that, and just making sure that a person knows where their money is going, showing them what the performance is and will be based upon historical data, and with the amount of money they're investing, how much that is going to yield them in the future. So if I'm only doing $25 a month, that means I'm doing $300 for the year. So if I'm doing $300 for the year, is that going to get me to my retirement goal, or is that just a stepping stone to get there?
So when you're putting that money over that year, how long does it take? Like, okay, say that your year's up, you got to 300. Then it depends on what different investments you put in to see what kind of return you'll get.
That would be a true statement, but I always paint this picture that if I did 300 and I got a 10% rate of return, then I earned $30. But if I had 10,000 and I got a 10% rate of return, you're going to see it. You're going to see it much better. You have $1,000. So you may get a higher return. However, you have to look at the amount of money that you invested. And some people think that it's going to be a miracle if they have $100 saved up and they're going to earn $5,000 next year. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't work like that. Right. But what I do is ask questions to determine what type of an investment an individual needs, and then look at their budgeting to determine how much money they really can set aside. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that waste money on just things like going out to eat every day, right, or entertainment, cable they don't even listen to or look at, you know, all of those different things. So money is redirected in the wrong places, and it can be redirected towards that individual for their future, because everything, it really does interrelate. So the investments interrelate with your life insurance, which interrelates with your debt, which interrelates with your budgeting. You can't live without any of those altogether. But I'd say if we were looking at a financial house to determine what would be the most important and how you should focus on making sure your money is doing what you would desire it to do, is to make sure that you have an emergency fund. Because something is always going to happen. And if you do not have that emergency fund, most people are going to go to the credit card, which means now you're going to have to pay it off, or it just may draw interest for a very long period of time. And then the next thing is to make sure that you have your life insurance. A lot of people are super underinsured, and they have that burial expense policy like you were referring to. And if it's burial, usually I see $5,000 to $10,000. But besides it, life insurance protecting lost income, if a person does not have life insurance or their life insurance is super limited, there are a few options that people have. And one of them is the GoFundMe account on Facebook. Now, you're already sad. Why do you want to solicit monies to pay for a funeral or care for those kids? You're hurt, you know, you're devastated. Or there's that bake sale at church or the car wash or things of that nature. And if a person wants the government to pay for it, they give you $255 and that's about it. Or they, you know, many times people go to the church, but the church isn't a funeral parlor. You'll get, you know, something, but it's not going to be everything that
you need to cover.
That would be a true statement.
Wow. So I think it's just, I think I'm just not going to die. No, I'm just
just not today. How about that?
Right. So a lot of times, you know, you get these different people with the different investments and whatnot, and you get excited, and then you hear something like about the Bernie Madoff guy, or you see that it was a show I used to watch all the time on American Greed, where you get these people who run these scams, and, you know, they live in some macho mansions, but the whole time they just taking everybody's money while they, you know, fake investing and whatnot. How do you avoid those type of scallywags?
Well, I'm unfamiliar with those scallywags. Definitely. But you can't, a person can't just go along living in fear. Those are a few isolated incidences. And if a person says, oh, those people are going to steal my money and, you know, I'm going to put it up in my house in a shoebox and under a mattress and things of that nature, you know, you're not earning any money.
Right. So, and it's super dangerous.
That would be a true statement, and hopefully the house won't burn down.
Exactly.
But taking, well, one, trusting this S&P, the stock market, all of those companies aren't going to just go away like that. But it's there for a purpose. But I believe that once a person truly understands the investing, and I deal primarily with mutual funds, which is a whole lot of companies in one fund. And so what that would mean is that all of those companies would have to completely take a nosedive to go away for a person to lose 100% of their money. And there hasn't been any mutual fund company in the history of the United States that's gone under. Now, companies, they come and go. But mutual funds, they may have 400 different companies. It may have 70 different companies. But again, all of those companies would have to just completely eliminate themselves.
Right. So it's pretty safe investment. And it also has, you know, they're reputable
companies.
Companies, right, yes, right.
Most certainly.
Because it seemed like in watching that, a lot of the people that these, the scam artists like, the Madoffs and whatnot, they scam mostly friends because of their name. Because that guy was like a SEC chairman and all of that. Correct. So I guess you thought, you know, hey, he got the inside, he the man to go with, but he was taking them.
Well, yes, but there's, I believe, more compliance and regulations, which would make it much tougher in order to do that. But you have to trust the person that's doing your investing, you know, and you have to have an understanding of what's happening. You may not need to be a complete expert, but there still has to be some sort of knowledge that is there.
So basically, when it comes to a reputable company such as yours, you can direct them to just all types of investments that could fill their bill.
Well, yes, I want people to retire with dignity, to have a smile on their face. If they want to plan for their kids' college or whatnot. I want to make sure that I'm doing the best thing so they'll have the amount of money that they desire to have with the monies that they're investing. Mm-hmm. So yes, I want to make sure that everyone is in a much better place. But the key is to start, and many people get around to it. And when I say get around to it, I mean after they cut the grass with scissors. Mm-hmm. Then they'll start to plan. But it's so very important right now, as soon as you possibly can, which everyone really can, mm-hmm. if they desire to.
Right. Like you were saying, I mean, you can look at some expenses that you have. They're just not necessary. Like you said, they're eating out every day, and that type of thing is, you could take that money right there and put it away. I'm sure people probably, I don't want to put no money amount, but probably $10 a day. You just don't, you know what I mean?
Oh, you better believe it. And that's a lot of money, $50 a week. So that's $200 in a month, not even including weekend entertainment.
Exactly.
So more money is put on things that don't appreciate in value instead of your future.
Right. Unbelievable that when you sit back and look at it, it's a lot of money that is wasted here and there. You know, I mean, some people might call a lunch an investment, though, because I work with some people who love to eat. So,
yes, I understand.
So when you're guiding someone, do you generally like try to spread it around, like, you know, like into different types of funds or whatnot? Or do you like focus on
for a particular purpose?
Right.
Okay.
Like a solid one.
Got it. So after I go through the education, I have to determine what type of investor an individual is. Some are more aggressive, some are real conservative, some are in the middle. Mm-hmm. And then from there to determine exactly what time horizon they're looking at, mm-hmm. because that makes a significant difference. And then I recommend places that I have my own money. I have a whole lot of different funds, and I know personally how those funds have performed. And if I need to do some hand holding, I most certainly will hold a hand, so that a person will feel a little bit more comfortable. But at the end of the day, everyone needs a coach. They really do. And if a person doesn't have a coach, it's called hit or miss. And then when time comes for you to have whatever, many times it's more of a miss. And then a person will not have a smile on their face when they retire. And retirement has to deal with money. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to necessarily deal with age.
Right. That's very true. Because if you don't have the money, there is no retirement, to be honest.
Correct. Yes.
I know I used to be a manager at Sam's Club, and we had dozens of elderly people working because they needed medicine and whatnot. So, and I'm sure, and depending on the generation that you come from, some didn't even focus on that type of thing, you know. I guess they depended on Social Security for their, you know, their retirement, and then we all know that that's not going to cover everything you need when you get to a certain age with medications and even just eating in general. It's just not that much money. So
it isn't. And on the very first page of the Social Security statement that I know I get mine every 2 years. I don't know why I don't get it every year, but I get it like every 2 years. And over on the right hand side in the bottom, it says that the Social Security will run out of money. In essence, don't use this as your primary source of retirement, because they're putting the numbers on there in today's dollars, but there's inflation.
Right.
And a person may not get what they want to desire. So with the baby boomers, more likely than not, there's going to be money there. You know, it may not be what a person wants, but I would say that it would be a good supplement, because there does have to be other sources of income. Now for generation X and generation Y and the millennials, we're going to have to call that gas money. because if it is there for us, then it's not going to be what we truly desire it to be.
Right. So a 401k is good, but sometimes you probably need a little bit more.
Oh, yes.
Investing.
Yes, a lot more. And there's something, and I don't know if you're familiar with, called an IRA, a Roth IRA. And I call a Roth IRA a gift from the government, because the way that it works is that if you're under 50, you can do $5,500 a year, and over 50, $6,500 a year. And as long as you have that IRA, whether you're doing the maximum or the minimum, the $25 a month, then upon retirement or age 59 and a half, you do not have to pay any taxes on the capital gains, dividends, or interest.
Really? Okay.
Yes. But with a 401k program or 403b, whatever, once you take out $1, that money's being taxed.
Right.
So
right.
Everyone should have a Roth IRA.
No doubt. I'm glad you said that. Now, I'm glad you're here, for real, for real. This is more beneficial to me, and hopefully these listeners is picking this up. So that Roth IRA is it's an account, but it's not something that, like, will it grow? Or is it just what you put in? Well, is what you get out.
Well, it most certainly would grow because, well, let me put this. The IRAs that I do, a Roth IRA is just a name saying tax shelter, and that's it. So it can be funded through a mutual fund, a bank CD, or things of that nature.
Okay.
So I am a big proponent of mutual funds. It's just that money is growing, but you don't have to pay tax on the gain. And that's why everyone should have one in addition to their retirement program at work.
And I'm sure a lot of people just leave it to the HR person to, you know, probably pick for them and whatnot. But it take a lot of, you know, you got to study a little bit and read up on some things.
Well, definitely. And an HR person's job is not to tell you where to put your money.
Right.
It's to indicate that there is a plan for you, which can help you retire with a smile on your face. So everyone needs a coach to determine where their money should go.
So we got life coaches, and now we got some retirement investment coaches.
Yeah, so you have Monica.
There you go. Coach Black.
Yes.
Get down with the get down.
Yes.
So I'm pretty sure, like, going back to these the life insurance thing.
Yes.
I've seen, like, Gerber and you said, like, you got all these different things now. Keep hearing, like, the term life thing. Is that, like, when you reach how does that work when you reach a certain age?
Okay. So with term life, there are a variety of terms, which can usually go from 10-year to 35-year. Okay. And I'll just speak on our company. So with those various terms, so say if I had a term for 20 years and I still need life insurance because, you know, life insurance is designed to protect lost income. So say I'm not where I need to be. So all you do is extend the term, and our term goes to age 100.
Okay.
And you don't have to requalify. Term insurance costs less than cash value or whole life insurance, which means you can get way more coverage for a small amount of money.
Okay. Wow. So that is, man, I got a lot to think about.
Yes.
And I am so glad you came. We're going to wind it down, and maybe we could have you back and talk some more on different investments and whatnot again.
And certainly that would be awesome.
It's been wonderful. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. It's always great to have you. I want to thank my main man, Charlie, who I'm going to miss very much, but glad to see he's going to do what he need to do for himself. And all of you have a great weekend, a great week ahead. And got the Bengals on the 2-0 start. That is hot stuff right there. So I'm going to get out of here. And once again, this is Do You See What I'm Saying? I'm your host, Steve Ogletree. Please tune in next week. We'll be right back. And as always, I want to end with, when you give love, you get love. And I'm out of here. Peace.